Now, the next noise you hear probably won't be as joyful as that. So, children, make your way on up. Too much noise, we can't hear, huh? Yeah. Do you like it being noisy?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you hear very good when it's noisy?
Yeah.
No. Can you hear your mom and dad very good when it's noisy? Like the vacuum cleaner? Yeah. But you know what?
Oh,
so it's all right, Abby, sink a little lower. So the vacuum's going, the TV's going, and it's so noisy you can't hear anything, right?
Right, we can't hear the show we're watching.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. If the vacuum's going and the TV's going and you can't hear that, can you hear God? No. See, you have to turn the TV up loud, but then you still can't hear God though, right?
Turn
everything down. Yeah. Scripture says that God says, be still and know that I am Lord. Do you have to be quiet so your mom and dad can talk to you and tell you what to do? Do you think you have to be quiet so God can tell you what to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so as well. And so sometime with everything that's going on and all the stuff that's... We don't like that one till next week. Everything that's going on, it's sometimes good just to sit and be quiet, don't you think? Maybe you can read your Bible if you can read, or maybe you could have somebody read it to you so that you would know.
I have a big Bible and a little Bible.
You have a big one and a little one?
Except I lost it.
You lost it. Okay. So as we get ready for Christmas, make sure that you take some time to be quiet so maybe God can speak to you just like he did the prophet Samuel when he was little and called him into ministry. So be still and know that I am God. All right? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for each of these children that are here that come with their families to church. We just pray that somehow you would speak to them through us, through their teachers, through their mom and dad, that they would know that you are God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys are off to Kids Connect. And I can put the drums up. I was surprised that Dick didn't ask me to play the drums for Praise Band after that. We are continuing in our series on open doors. Open doors this Christmas season. We've talked about several things, but I want to begin today with a story about a young pastor at his church because he was absolutely devastated. He had planned this really humongous special Christmas Eve service, but he came to find out that it wouldn't be possible to have. Frank, the church organist, had just told him that the organ was broken and couldn't be fixed in time. And so all this music that Pastor Joe had put together for the Christmas Eve service for this holiest of nights wouldn't be sung or wouldn't be heard. It would truly be a silent night. So to take his mind, he went to visit a poor family in his church who was getting ready to have a baby, and he walked in the house just as the baby was being born. And so he stayed there for a little bit, and then as he left to go home, he kind of tried to capture the emotion that was going on, what he had just witnessed with what might have taken place on Christmas Eve. And so he began to put some lyrics together in his mind, and he wanted them to be simple enough that they could be sung to a guitar. And so he went to church the next day and asked Frank, the organist, if there was some way that he could write a tune for these lyrics that he had put together. Well, Frank really didn't care for the guitar too much. He was more of a first service type guy. But he thought that he could do this for Pastor Joe. And so on that Christmas Eve in 1818 in Oberndorf, Austria, Pastor Joseph Moore and Franz Gruber, the organists, gave us Silent Night. See, the thing that I want you to take away from this is there was unexpected silence. Out of unexpected circumstances, something remarkable was given to us, something very special. Now, many of you probably don't know who Bing Crosby, how many people know who Bing Crosby is? Sweet. And I still believe that his single, a single was a little 45 record, about this big that they used to play on record players. They don't do that anymore. But 45, his single of Silent Night, I still believe is the third best-selling single of all time. So it's a very special song that came out of circumstances that most of us would have been just frustrated and wrought with anxiety over. We probably wouldn't have handled it very well. We probably would have been a little bit more like Frank the organist and been reluctant to do anything. But because of the way that they handled unexpected circumstances, we're still being blessed some 200 years later because of it. The circumstances of that evening could have been a huge disappointment to all the people in the church, but it turned out to be an unexpected surprise. And I want us to be alert to those unexpected surprises this Christmas. Not all unexpected surprises turn out good, but not all of them turn out bad. It's how we look at those things and bring them about. These unexpected interruptions can become something very memorable. Whenever I do pre-marriage counseling for people, I always tell the young couples, I say, look, that something unexpected will happen during your wedding, right? A cake will fall, a groomsman may fall out, something will happen. And at that time, it may seem like the worst thing in the world. But in a couple years, as you look back on your wedding day, those will be the most memorable things and the things that you remember the most. Well, Pastor Joe and Frank, they found something beautiful that Christmas Eve. It was unplanned, it was unscheduled, and it may have been just another Christmas Eve otherwise, but because of the way they handled it, it became something very special. See, the everyday activities that we go through this time of year, things that we think about that just go to work, the monotonous and mundane things that we take for granted, God can use those to do something very special in our life if we will allow him the space to do that, if we are intentional. Like we talked a little bit about Christmas cards last year. You would not believe the number of Christmas cards I got this week after I preached that. And for those of you who are here, the box of Christmas cards, instead of using the postal system, is flush. It's full. So make sure before you leave today that you check the boxes over at the Welcome Center, the Sunday School desk for your Christmas cards. But monotonous and mundane. If we turn to Luke chapter 1, we find that God did something especially incredible in Zechariah's service in the temple. And this is how it goes. Chapter 1, verse 8. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Once, when Zechariah was on duty. That gives you this just like another day, right? It's just once when he was on duty. It doesn't seem like anything special is going to come about it. It's just a regular thing that happened. Once when he was on duty. He gets the honor that day, though, of going into the Holy of Holies. They only got to do that one time in their whole life, but once when he was on duty, he was chosen to do that. They would go in and burn incense, and the incense would be like, as we heard in the Advent reading, that would represent the prayers of the people going up. But here he is. Once when he was on duty, the unexpected happens. The angel Gabriel breaks into the Holy of Holies. No one else is supposed to be there, and so Zechariah is surprised. But while he's there, he lets this old man in on a secret that takes Zechariah's breath away. He says, Zechariah, you and your wife Elizabeth are going to have a baby boy. You're going to name him John. Now, definitely unexpected because they have not been able to have a baby in forever. They are well up in their years. They're old. She is considered barren. They have no hope at this point in their life of having children. But God broke into the monotonous and the mundane, the once when he was on duty, and gave them a tremendous blessing. If you have your Bibles open or your iPads, your digital devices turned on, look at chapter 1, beginning around verse 13. And I'm going to just kind of paraphrase as we go. It says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah the angel," he says, "your prayer has been heard. Your wife is going to have a son by you. You are going to call him John. You're going to leap like a gazelle with joy, and many people will be excited by his birth. He is going to do great things for God. He won't drink a drop. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he comes into the world. He'll be a witness like the great prophets of old. He will soften the hearts of parents for their children. He will change even the most hardened hearts. He'll get the people ready for God." But Zechariah, again, because of his age and the doubts, he has questions. And he goes, uh-oh, questions the angel, and the angel says, wrong answer, bro. Now, because of that, you get a timeout. Kind of like what we do with our kids. We put them in the corner and tell them, time out. You get a timeout to experience the silence and the unexpected of God. Well, meanwhile, while he's waiting in there going through this with the people are outside and they're getting restless because what's taking so long for the priest to come out? What's taking so long for Zechariah to make their way? And once he makes his way out of the sanctuary, they realize that something has taken place, something wonderful and unexpected, because he couldn't speak. And so the people are alert to what's going on. What a wonderful thing had happened. It wasn't going to be just a silent night for Zechariah. It's going to be a silent 9 months for him because he's not going to be able to speak at all. But in that time period, Zechariah is given an amazing gift because he's given the time to contemplate what God is doing in his life. You see, what initially was thought maybe to be a curse actually becomes a blessing. And so it is in our life as well. When we first have circumstances, unexpected circumstances happen in our life, we often tend to see them as something bad, but then later on they become a blessing to us as we go. This initial response by Zechariah that he couldn't speak was because of his lack of faith. But before we judge him too harshly, I want you to put yourself in his shoes. Let's say you're 70, 80 years old. Let's say your wife is maybe even 60 or 70, a little bit younger, and you have tried and you have tried and you have tried to have children to no avail. And then all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, "Oh yeah, dude, it's finally going to happen." You too would be probably doubting. You too would probably be a little shaken in your faith. But in his silence, Zechariah was able to recognize how valuable the truth is, how valuable God's word is. And that's this: when God speaks, we're better off just listening instead of trying to give our side of the story. No ifs, ands, or buts. Just listen to what God is saying. No talking back. Just do what he wants us to do. Let me ask you this morning, obviously the kids were thinking about it. Have you ever thought of silence as a gift? I don't know about my house, but when my wife is silent, I know I'm in trouble. That is not a gift. But when I think of silence, again, I want you to think for a moment. Not, guys, not just when the wife and kids are gone. That's not really the silence I'm talking about. Ladies, when you get a little peace and quiet while the kids are at school, maybe hubby's out golfing or hunting. That's not the kind of silence that I'm talking about either. I'm talking about the time of silence that we often look at as a gift and leave it unwrapped. That maybe if we would cherish silence a little bit more, God would do the unexpected in our life. I mean, this is a season that is filled with stress and anxiety. How many of you still have Christmas presents to buy? How many of you got Christmas presents to wrap? Yeah. How many of you still got meals to plan, travel plans to make? There is a lot going on. And in the midst of that, trying to find silence is sometimes difficult to do. I found an old poem called A Cup of Silence, and part of it goes like this. Silence, Simon says, and Garfunkel too, that silence has its sounds. I think that I would agree. It's the whisper of a moment more tastier than tea. It's when I hear the still, small voice of God. Last week, I wrapped up our message by reminding you of the story of Elijah when he's on the run from Ahab and Jezebel, and he goes and hides in a cave in the mountains waiting to hear from God. He needs to hear from God desperately. And then unbelievably strong winds come through and rock the mountains, but there's no God. Earthquake and fire, still no God, but then just a gentle breeze, the whisper of God is heard. And I think we need to be like the kids sometimes. They said, turn off the TV or turn off the vacuum, Mom, so that there can be some silence and we can hear from God. See, I think there's something that I want you to understand about silence, and this is what I believe Zechariah learned, is that there is nothing like a season of silence to contemplate what God is about to do in our lives. When we slow down for a minute and take the time, then we can begin to understand what God wants to do in our lives. For John Francis says, in the silence, I rediscover who I am. See, contemplation, taking time to think about our faith, often brings about renewed faith. It reinvigorates us and gives us a fresh look on what's going on. Zechariah didn't end up staying silent the rest of his life, but just for a brief period of time. And just as the angel Gabriel told him at the appropriate time when his son was born, he would regain his speech. Luke chapter 1, verse 64 says, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. If Silent Night is one of the most popular Christmas carols that we have, then Zechariah's, what's called the Benedictus, is probably one of the most overlooked. Spend some time, if your Bible, if you would, listen to the words that fall out of the old man's mouth after a season of silence. He has contemplated his faith. He has contemplated what God was doing in his life. And here's what he says. Praise be to the Lord God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He raised up a horn of salvation for us in this house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to his father Abraham, our father Abraham. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of his sins. Now, can you imagine if he had not have had that season of silence, would he have been able to write such meaningful, deep words and praise to God? Would he have been able to contemplate the meaning of his son, and then the son to come through Mary, this horn of salvation that was going to be awakened? Could you imagine? People have been waiting for centuries for news of the Messiah to come. And now here is Zechariah, after a season of silence, proclaiming that this is coming. After a season of silence, his tongue has become an instrument of praise. Psalm 45 begins this way. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for my king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Too many times we probably can't articulate our faith because we're always in such a hurry to stop and to contemplate and think about this faith that we have. But Zechariah, through his four seasons of silence, now has this great understanding of all that God is doing in his life. He now understands why they weren't able to have a child for so long, that this is part of God's plan for the redemption of his people. Something he could have never considered in the midst of his everyday life. So he responds to God that way. God has given each of us response ability. Right? When I say that, it's not responsibility, but a response ability. The ability to respond to God. And when we do that, there we go. Responsibility. When we do this, We open up the door to the natural grace of God. See, sometimes silence is called for in our life, and it's hard to find. In this busyness that we call life, silence is called for. Other times, singing is called for, just like we did start our worship service, just like we did with the girls singing for us. I think God has wired us, but we often forget that He's wired us for silence as well as singing. So my hope and my message to you for this next week or so is to experience some silence. Be intentional about making time. Now, I know you guys get sick of me saying that word, intentional. But intentional means be deliberate, right? Be deliberate. Purposefully set out some time to do that. Deliberate or with purpose. Don't let it just happen by circumstance, but set out time to do that. I think if you'll just take some time and be intentional, you'll probably wake up one morning and find out that you're a member of AARP, much to your wife's chagrin. But take some time to contemplate that. We live in a busy, noisy world, and I'm as guilty as anybody. Well, we could be at home, and I'll tell Sherry I'll watch a show with her, but while I'm watching a show with her, I'm on my laptop. My phone is constantly beeping with either a new text message, a new voicemail, a new Twitter feed, anything like that. And so we're really not sitting there in silence watching a movie together. We often have our TV on as background noise. Your phones are probably constantly buzzing with messages and calls and things as well. And if it's not that, then we have 300 channels or more on our dish or our satellite channel of things that we just watch to fill up time. And now with the wonder of DVR, we're probably DVRing shows that we would never watch otherwise, but we watch them because we can. I want to share a few tips with you for this coming, as we get closer to Christmas. We have, again, a week before that big day. But I want to share a few practical tips that I've come across in my reading, and there was actually a couple of these came from a devotion that I had on my stinking phone this week as it beeped and gave me my devotional. But it was some good ideas. One, find a quiet place. I know we had our Sunday school over to our house last week, and we have a very large living room in a parsonage, and there's no TV in there. And we did that by design so that if we do have people over, it's a place where you can visit without having a TV going. It's also a place where we can go in our house to find some quiet time. How many of you have TVs in your bedrooms? How many of you have TVs in a family room? Most of us probably have 3 or 4 TVs in our house. So we have, you got it with you on your phone all the time. Find a quiet place to go. For me, it's often, if you're Rodney Atkins' song, put a little gravel in your travel, country road, take a back road, that's where I go find my peace. I'll just go drive out in the country. But find some place where you can get away from everything, including your phone. The second thing I'd like you to do is maybe read the Bible in a fresh way. Begin to think about how you read Scripture. Don't just read it to get it done. Check off a task. That's the one thing about, like on my phone with the Bible app, as soon as I read the devotional, I can push, click, and it does a check mark, does a check mark, does a check mark. But take some time to read it in a little different way. I'm going to put a verse up on the screen for you, and I want you to read it in a little bit different way. Here's Luke 24, verse 51. What if you, instead of reading Scripture to yourself, what if you use it as a way to converse with Jesus? Make a simple change, something as simple as changing the pronouns. So follow along on the verse that you see up on the screen. When you had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, you lifted up your hands and blessed them. While you were blessing them, you left them and were taken up to heaven. See, now all of a sudden you're not reading Scripture, but you're talking to Jesus. It becomes a more personal conversation than just a task that we're reading. So take some time and change the pronouns. Use it as a way to communicate with Jesus. The third thing is read Scripture as a prayer. Again, don't just read Scripture. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. What if we would say that as a prayer as we're reading the scripture? You know, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you loved us so much and that you are who you are, that you are always true to your word, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We thank you for that blessing. What if we turn those into prayers rather than just something that we are to read? How many of you will listen to some Christmas carols in the next week? Yeah, maybe before you put some CDs on, or maybe before you hit your playlist on your digital device, what if you would take the time to look up, again, the words to the Christmas carols? What if you would take some time to read them? Try to find out about how they were written or why they were written. The story that I started with about Silent Night comes from a book called Amazing Grace, 365 Inspiring Hymn Stories. That talks about the writing of some of our carols and some of our beloved hymns, and we get some background on how they come. When we can understand why they were written in the situation that they were written in, maybe it gives much more meaning and depth instead of just singing the words that we've always sung. Maybe if we can get some background or some information about why they were written, when they were written, what for, maybe we begin to appreciate them just a little bit more. The last thing that I would encourage you to try to do in this next week is try your hand at writing a Christmas poem. Maybe it's something like Zechariah's Benedictus or a psalm. A psalm was actually poetry that became singing. Don't worry about trying to rhyme the words. Don't put so much effort into making sure, but try to put together phrases that express how you feel about God, how you feel about your faith. What do you feel about Jesus? How do you feel about God's amazing gift and Jesus Christ's willingness to leave the splendor and glory of heaven to be born in a stable somewhere as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Not in all the other trappings that we think about for a king, but in a stable with a bunch of muck and animals. How amazing that whole story is. What if we could try to put that down in two words? It doesn't have to be something that we can sing, or you can find Dick and have him put tune to that could be played on the guitar. But write a poem, maybe simply stating some of your faith. You know, we're getting close, and last week we actually talked a little bit about how God routinely invades our life with knocks at the door, or cards in the mail, or unexpected phone calls. God works in unexpected ways. And those unexpected ways, though, are all part of his agenda, especially if you believe that God is in control of each and every life. Especially if we believe that everything that happens to us either happens by God's intentional will or his permissive will. His permissive will means that he allows things to happen to us. But everything that takes place and happens in our life is one of those things. God has either directed it or he has allowed it to happen. Two Sundays ago, we talked about opening our hearts and our homes to friends and strangers, people that need to be showered with love. Again, some of those will be unexpected. Some of those will be planned for, just like you probably have already received some unexpected Christmas cards. Some you knew you would get, others unexpected. But this Christmas, I would ask that in the midst of all the unplanned, unforeseeable circumstances that take place in your life, look for God to make something beautiful out of them. Don't see them as ruining your schedule or ruining your agenda or messing up something that you've already worked out, but see them as something beautiful, that God's going to do something really cool with those. Maybe, hopefully not, if you're older, it is a baby. God may give birth to something else in your life. It might be a new ministry. It might be a new way to reach out to people. On the other extreme, an old couple who has no hope of having a children has a child, a young teenage girl who's not prepared to have a child, who is still a virgin, becomes part of God's plan for redemption unexpectedly, but something beautiful comes out of them. Zechariah gets forced silence for his unbelief. Mary took a break from the noise of all the chatter in her village and goes away to be with her family so that she would have time to contemplate what God was doing in her life. And in the end, because of their silence, both of them share beautiful words about faith. Again, Zechariah's Benedictus, Mary's Magnificat are two of the most revered psalms in the Bible. But they both came out of a season of getting away from the noise and the hustle and the bustle. I would urge you to take some time, especially as we wind down this Christmas season already, take some time to find some silence in your life. And in that silence, find a song. Find a song of praise and wonder that can only come from your heart and nobody else's. You have beautiful praise within you to share with other people. Sometimes it just takes the silence to sit and find it. Look for the unexpected. Expect something beautiful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we live in a day and age where we have so much technology and we have so many things going on, but also that if we're intentional and deliberate, we can find the quiet, the season of peace that we need. And I pray that in this last week ramping up to Christmas with so many events and activities, so much going on, that you would help us to find a season of silence. And we might just sit for a while and know that you are God. That we can contemplate again this whole idea of Christmas, of you sending your son Jesus Christ to earth in the flesh to walk among us, that he would experience what we experience, thirst, hunger, fatigue, heartache, that he might have a better understanding of who we are and what we need. And that he left the glory and splendor of heaven intentionally to come, ultimately to die on the cross for our sins. So I pray, Father, this morning that there's anybody here that doesn't realize the magnitude of this gift of Jesus, that he came as a baby to ultimately grow up as a man and die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, that we would have the hope of eternal life in heaven with you. Pray that you would speak to their hearts, that as we have a moment to sing here, that they would turn to their neighbor and ask, tell me more about this Jesus, or they may feel free to come forward and let us share with them what it means to be a follower of Christ. And Lord, I pray that in this time of year when people are lonely and hurting, looking for companionship, that maybe there's even someone here today who's looking for a church home. They've decided that maybe First Baptist Church is a place that they want to be involved in community and love one another. We pray that maybe you would speak to their hearts today as well as we get ready to sing. Father, we love you. We thank you for the silence in our lives that we may contemplate what you're doing in them and through us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.